kick it off as you do each and every day here on the Merrick Show with Elliot Friedman. Friege, good day. How are you, sir?
It only took me 5 days to forget. Like, I completely forgot.
Oh, did you?
And Matt Marchese is like, are you joining us? Like, what are you doing?
You know what? I think the over-under on that was 3. So
yeah, it's just a new record
over.
For me.
You hit the
it's
over.
It's only the same time every day. I could see why I'd forget about it.
Well, listen, you're probably busy today, and that's why. Alexander Barkov, contract extension, Florida Panthers. The AAV is 10 years. The duration is $10 million. The duration is 8 years. You know, we talked about on the podcast when Bill Zito left Columbus to go to Florida, the job number one was securing the services of Alexander Barkov for the long term in Florida. Mission accomplished. What do you make of the deal, and what can you tell me by way of details?
Well, I think, yes, it is mission accomplished. It was the number one thing that they had to do this offseason, and they've got it done. To their credit, they got it done. So good on them, and it's a big win for the Panthers. Like you said, it's 8 times 10. I'm under the impression that about 90%, I haven't seen the exact contract yet, and nobody would give me the exact details, but I'm under the impression that it's about 90% signing bonuses. Mm-hmm. So it's, and that's a big one in this day and age. Like, there were some teams that drew a really hard line on signing bonuses. There were some agents who told me that some teams said, like, don't even come with us. We're not doing that. And so, you know, Florida at the ownership level, you know, they took a swing here that a lot of other teams weren't really willing to do right now. So they do it. And, you know, when you have a contract now and you do an extension, if your current deal doesn't have a no trade protection on it, you can add it. Florida has added the no trade protection to Barkov for this year. So I believe the full no move is for the first 6 years of the extension. And then I think there's a partial one for the last 2 years. And so that's kind of what we're looking at here. It's a big commitment to Barkov, and you know the fans were, I saw the social media reaction today. The fans of the Panthers were pretty happy, and you know he's the cornerstone. So mm-hmm. I don't understand how anybody could have a too much of a problem with this one. And you know what? He probably gets more money, Jeff, in the open market. But the Florida tax advantage comes through again.
I was going to say, you look at the $10 million and you say, that's a wonderful contract for Alexander Barkov. But then when you consider, you know, what a legitimate first line center with his skill set would have fetched on the market, he's an 11-12 guy going away.
Yeah, 100%. I don't think anybody's going to argue with you on that at all. Now, you get that over 7 years instead of 8, but I don't think anyone's going to argue.
Right. So I am curious about, I mean, a couple of seasons ago, something changed in Florida. The loosening of the purse strings, whatever it was with Vinny Viola and the ownership group of the Florida Panthers, whether it was the big money for Bobrovsky, whether it was the big money for Joel Quenneville, now the big money for Alexander Barkov. I know next season we'll be talking about an extension for Jonathan Huberdeau. Mm-hmm. What changed there and why? Do you have a handle on how things? Because for the longest time it was always, you know, they were frugal, they're watching the nickels and dimes, and something changed in Florida.
Well, you know what? I think they've been through various phases, right? Like, don't forget, a few years ago, they had the summer where they gave some really good extensions, like good value extensions. Barkov's last deal, or current deal, I guess, was a great extension. They gave a great deal to Huberto. I thought it was a really good number. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they did go out and they spent big on they spent big on Keith Yandel, for example. And then, you know, they kind of dialed it back. That didn't work. And, you know, I've always believed the major reason they lost both Riley Smith and Jonathan Marchessault was budget related, that there was a mandate. Okay. We tried this, it didn't work. And now we're dialing it back. And then, you know, they've kind of gone up and down. Like they gave Ekblad a huge deal. And they did Bobrovsky. So, like, I think that the organization has kind of lurched back and forth between what it wanted to do. I think they're a bit more stable now. And I think at the end of the day, like, if you're going to do that, do it with the guy you know who's your captain. Like, you have the advantage of knowing everything about who and what Barkov is. Take advantage of that knowledge. And if there's somebody you should be giving the big deal to, that's the guy.
So if you missed the news and just joining us, Alexander Barkov, contract extension with the Florida Panthers, AAV of $10 million, duration is 8 seasons for Alexander Barkov. So the question that people have now, and listen, there was some success last year in the regular season. They made the playoffs. They lost out in the opening round against the eventual Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning. A lot of people are, you know, even picking Florida to win the division this season, do more damage. They've added Sam Reinhart. There's some players that have taken up, like you look at Mackenzie Weegar, who's taken a real step in his career. A healthy Aaron Ekblad always helps. Where do you see Florida right now? Are you part of the chorus that says this is a team that should compete for tops in the division?
Well, and also Spencer Knight, we had to do the picks for the website, which is like one of my least favorite assignments of the year. Because, you know, like the ones that blow up, everybody always remembers. So you love when it happens.
You mean like me picking Carter Hart for the Vezina last year? You mean something like that?
You know, it always happens. Like it always does. Like that occurs. We all have picks like that. Like I have Spencer Knight as my Calder pick this year.
Yep.
He's my guy. So I like them. I mean, you know, there's one thing in the Stamkos interview we did at the media tour that really stands out, where he said that Tampa last year was like, we don't care if we make the play, where we make the playoffs. We don't care where we finish because we know once we get in, you know, we're going to be fine. You know, I thought about that a lot. I still pick Tampa to win the division because, you know, they're Tampa. But, like, if they say, okay, we're good with being second or third as long as we're in the right kind of place when we get to the playoffs. I mean, who's like, could Florida take advantage of that? Absolutely. I think they could.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're really good.
Yeah. They're a real good team. I do wonder, you know, whenever someone signs a contract like this, and listen, we saw the ripple effect after the Seth Jones deal.
Right? Yeah.
So, and that, you know, directly benefited someone like Darnell Nurse. Now that Barkov's deal is done, I mean, the one name that jumped out to me is Mika Zibanejad,
who
is
a UFA. Think that's the one.
UFA at the end of this season. I wonder if that becomes now a comparable for him and his camp and what the Rangers think of that number. Is he the obvious one here as far as comparables go?
That would be the one that I would think of, Jeff. Like that was the first text I got after we reported it today was about Zibanejad. Like, what do you think this is going to mean for him?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, to me, I think that's the obvious comparable to me. And, you know, that's the one that stands out. And, you know, the thing that's interesting is that the tax situation, like there are people out there I know who, like, don't like the Florida tax advantage, and like they say that the cap should be amended. I don't really think like that. I think every place in the NHL has its advantages and disadvantages. But, you know, like I always wonder about how that comes into play. Like the Rangers are probably going to look at that and say, okay, you know, here's a 10 for Barkov. Like that's kind of where we want to go, max. And what Zibanejad, who's represented in the family, does he just say, well, that's Florida and that's a tax situation? It doesn't apply to me. But I think I could see how the Rangers would look at that deal and say, okay, you're coming a little under that. And I always think an agent will look and say, that's their situation. This is our situation. So it always leads to a tug of war. Always, always, always.
While we're on the Rangers page, I mean, they have Artemi Panarin at $11 million, Jacob Trouba in at 8. There's a big ticket coming for Adam Fox. That'll be a conversation all this season. You know, I do want, you know, Alexis Lafreniere on the horizon. We'll see what kind of season Capo Caco has. Yeah, I mean, there are players there. And when you have players, you have to pay them and they lead to headaches. I was talking to Jeff Gorton about this yesterday, about Zibanejad being maybe, you know, the sort of the quietest first line center. I guess you can throw Barkov in that mix too, though, in the entire NHL. Like, I just wonder if, you know, the Rangers, considering what they have on the horizon, you know, can even absorb a cap hit like Barkov's, knowing what they still have on the horizon.
I think, like, I always look at it like, what's the old Amarello, Lamorello line? If you have time, use it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if a player decides, if a player shows you by the way they play that they're a cornerstone person on your team, you do what you need to do to make it work, right? Like, you know, one of Rory's questions was, like, if the Rangers decide they have to have Zibanejad, they're gonna find a way to make it work. Like, that's just the way I look at it.
Right.
Now, if you can't make a deal, you can't make a deal. But I think you always try. Like, one of the questions, you know, Rory Boylan asked in that thing we're doing is, where does Eichel end up at the trade deadline? And that was, or where is he playing this year at the trade deadline? And I thought that was a really good question. And I kind of qualified my answer. I said, look, if Zibanejad's not signed by then I'm going to wonder if it's going to be the Rangers. So, like, that's the thing. Like, the Rangers are doing a really good job of creating the impression that they're not in on Eichel. And maybe on a day-to-day business, that's true. But I have to think that just because the way a good GM thinks is, okay, maybe we're going to stay out of this publicly, but what if we can't work out the situation with Zibanejad?
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, we have to be prepared for plan B, right? You always have to have escape routes and plans. So that's the way, Jeff, I look at it with the Eichel, the Rangers, and Zibanejad situation is, if they can't get him signed,
right,
I got to think they're considering the possibility of it.
So the big story of the day is Alexander Barkov. And
yeah,
the main scout with the Florida Panthers, because you can very well remember this draft. It's Nathan MacKinnon goes first overall. There's a lot of talk about Florida taking Seth Jones. Second overall, Dale Tallon announces Alexander Barkov. Jari Kekäläinen is the main scout, European scout for Florida, who pushed for Barkov. That's Jarmo Kekäläinen's brother. And while we're on the Kekäläinen conversation, spoke with John Davidson the other day here on the program, president of hockey operations for CBJ. And we talked about, you know, Line A and Voracek and some of the kids and Cole Sillinger, et cetera. Do you have a handle on where Columbus is at this season?
Well, I have to say this. First of all, I wanted to mention Scott Luce from Florida because
yep.
He was like, you're totally right with Kekäläinen being involved, but Scott Luce was another guy who had to sell the pick.
Yep.
And I remember talking to some Florida guys after it was over about how Kekäläinen and Luce sold it together, and they were convinced that was the right guy, and they were right. You know, I think, you know, Columbus, again, I go back to this prediction thing we're doing, and they talked about team that might surprise. And I had three teams I wanted to vote. Like, Zach Werenski has convinced me they're going to be better. Like, it could all be weird preseason talk, and I could be totally wrong for even going that route. But he the way he talked, I really liked it. But the other two teams I kind of looked at were New Jersey, although I'm really uncertain now because of this whole Blackwood situation.
Yeah.
And also Winnipeg. Like, I don't think Winnipeg is getting enough respect for what they did in the offseason. I think they have a chance to be the best team in Canada.
They could win they could win the cup. Like, I look at Winnipeg, I love it. They could win the Stanley Cup as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. You know, I like their team. I really like their team, to be perfectly honest. But I like Columbus. I like Merzlikins.
Yep.
I just like to me, Line A is such a big question this year. Like that goal that he scored the other night.
Oh, like, on Detroit? The Detroit goal? Yeah.
Like if you're Columbus, like, you're salivating at that. Now, the problem for Columbus is, I think that's a really tough division. Like, yep. I think the Islanders are really good. I think Philly's going to be a lot better. You know, I kind of don't know what to make about Pittsburgh. I think Washington will be fine regular season, although I think, you know, Washington, I'm starting to wonder about their aging curve a little bit. Like the Rangers, I think, are going to be better. I think New Jersey's going to be better. I just wonder about that division, but you know, they'll play hard because that's their identity. They're going to play really hard. And I think, you know, Columbus also as an organization has kind of realized what its shortcomings might have been. And I thought it was a really interesting that they hired, I don't know if you saw the Aaron Portsline story, but that they hired Aaron Johnson, the former player, as kind of like a player concierge.
The first, I think he's the first player. I mean, teams have this, but he's the first player to fill that role.
Like I kind of like to me, a lot of the stuff that's out there is noise. I think as an organization, good organizations know to separate the noise from what is legit. And I thought that the stuff that I was hearing about Columbus, about, you know, do they go the extra mile, things like that. I think it got to a point where it was legit. And I say good on them for recognizing that and saying, okay, what can we do about it? Like, you know, like the NHL season, it's long, it's nasty, it can be dreary at points. Are you willing to go the extra mile to kind of find your way through that? And that says to me that they are.
One thing I can say, you know, when you talk about Patrick Laine, and this might be sort of akin to how Pat Kane and Artemi Panarin worked in Chicago, even though they're on separate wings, that Voracek-Laine combination.
Yeah.
It looks really good. Like, Voracek to me is the one player I don't think gets as, enough credit or didn't get enough credit in Philadelphia for being a really highly skilled playmaker. But it seems as if, you know, Voracek is a gift right now for Patrick Laine. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would. And I think Voracek will be rejuvenated too. Like I spent a lot of time over the past few days talking to people about Philly last year. And, you know, one of the things that someone said to me there was the thing about last season was it was hard. And if you were having a good year, at least you had that to look forward to. But if you were having a bad year, like there was nothing you could escape from. I think I think the quote I used in the blog was a spiral of negativity that they just couldn't escape.
Yeah.
And like I think in Philly that consumed the whole organization. Like one of the things I've been told there is that nobody in that organization ran away from the responsibility of it. Like nobody said like it wasn't them. Like I heard the Fletcher said, you know, he was just as guilty. I heard the coaches said they were just as guilty. And the players said, yeah, we were guilty too. So, and I think Voracek was one of those guys. I think from what I'm hearing about him in particular, he needed a change of scenery. It was just time. And I think, you know, he knows Columbus. They know him. You're right. He'll be great for Laine. I think he will really benefit from a change of scenery there.
Philadelphia Flyers to me are one of those teams. I don't know. They redid the right side of their blue line. They brought in Cam Atkinson, you know, kind of, I know Flyers fans are maybe surprised, disappointed that Morgan Frost didn't make the team. He was a cut. Here we go again, Philadelphia Flyers. But to me, listen, we all talk about goaltending. Carter Hart needs a bounce back season. I just don't know what to expect out of Philadelphia. I cross my fingers and hope that they're the team that we thought they were going to be last season, this season. Want to get your thoughts. You mentioned Mackenzie Blackwood a second ago, just so all of our listeners are on the same page here. Had an inconclusive COVID test. Now, here's a player who has not been vaccinated, and there have been a lot of question marks around that within the New Jersey Devils organization, and say nothing about the rest of the NHL. What's happening with the New Jersey Devils right now? Like, how do they react to this situation? Inconclusive test from someone who's not vaccinated, specifically their number one goaltender.
You know, I think that they're like last night. So he was supposed to play.
Yeah.
And you know, nobody
was scrubbed,
but even before that, he didn't come out for warm up. Right.
Yeah.
And so I saw the tweets from Corey Massasak and Amanda Stein, and you could tell they were surprised. Like sometimes I think, like I remember there was one time, like sometimes you have situations where a team will reach out to you, like you're broadcasting a game, and they'll say, okay, we're making an agreement, right? This isn't going to be reported until the warm-up. And I say, okay, like, I guess. And like, okay, this person won't be playing. And you could tell last night that it was a bit of a surprise to people there that Blackwood wasn't there. And immediately I sent notes out to everyone who would have an idea about this situation. And I got nothing back, like zero. Mm. And immediately there, you're like, okay, something's going on here. And, you know, the announcement came out this morning through the team that he's had one positive COVID test and they're not really sure about what the situation is. One that was inconclusive. You know, here's the thing for me, Jeff. Like, in a team environment, for me, I think at the end of the day, there's some guys here who did not want to get vaccinated, but they were told, look, like, you're going to hurt the team if you don't do it. And they were like, okay, we'll do it. And I know that if I was in that position, that where I wasn't vaccinated, if the team was depending on me and I was that important, I just don't think I could do it. Like, I don't think I could hurt the team like that. It's just, it's not the way I'm wired. And, you know, I think in this case, like, we'll see where this goes, but, you know, it's a tough one for the Devils if they lose Blackwood in this situation, and we'll see where it plays out. But all I know is that I've asked myself what I would do in the same situation. If I was as important to the Devils as Blackwood is, I couldn't go unvaccinated. It's just not the way I'm wired.
It's been a tough few seasons for the New Jersey Devils and their number one netminder, Corey Crawford, not too long ago. And now the situation with Mackenzie Blackwood, we'll see where this one ends up. Okay. Time for you to go forget another appointment.
I'm already late for my 1 o'clock.
Perfect. All right, Frege, be well.